Tickets cost us a lot of money because they were bought in less than 24 hours. It was a great thing that we could buy them, and it was the goodness of the Lord, and it was a miracle in itself that we found them. But the problem was that after we came to Dublin, we were left with a huge bill that we could not afford by no means. It was the 500 and something euros of the new tickets, the lost tickets, and then the transport between the two cities. So it was a great struggle to get to the Ryanair people and to speak to them, to explain them the situation. And as I posted on the group, they agreed to refund us some money based on the receipts we have. And immediately after I posted, Brother James texted me and said, "Sister, I hope you have those receipts. You kept the receipt from the taxi, the transport money, because that's the legal way they will refund us." Now, the problem is I didn't have those receipts because that 200 and something, 224 euros exactly, the transport costed us overnight, the overnight travel. It was just a bargain that we made informally, so we didn't receive any receipts based on that. So, we didn't have any receipts. And the money were very needful. And one time after the Wednesday prayer meeting, we were drove home by the sister patients in Kadango, and they so much encouraged us. They said, that's impossible that even an airplane company would refund you any money. And I was encouraged. I don't think I told them I don't have those receipts, but just continued to pray. When Brother Crosby came, he said, on Monday, by 10 past 1, somebody will have a testimony if they have the right approach. He said, "God, I so much want that faith." And on Monday, I was in the hospital all day, and I quickly changed to my testimony, and I ran to the post office to send a letter to Ryanair, which would basically justify giving money without receipts, which is very unreasonable if you think of it. So I wrote a long letter and I explained, and I put small numbers and big numbers, and I put everything there, and I said, "Lord, I want to take a picture of this and share it with the saints, but nobody will understand that this testimony is in progress." So I just kept it in my heart, and I put it on Wednesday. They wrote back to me saying, "We refund you 224 euros." So basically, we travel back to Dublin for free.
The sister Machiza is asking me which team. You know, she always says chop chop. But what she's not saying in the background, she'll be coming upstairs and we'll be fighting. Saying, "It's your money! You must tell them it's your money!" Me and Sister Lillian were shouting, "Where are the receipts? Where are the receipts?" you'll be saying, that's impossible. Oh, Brother George, it's impossible. It will never work. I say, just send it. Why won't it work? Just send it. You see, there's always that side. But I'm not saying it to get the glory. No. Even I will be scared because we tried to apply for the same thing. They refused. They told us, no ways. We can't give you a refund. But you won't tell her that. I even gave her a letter that they printed me at the airport saying, under no circumstances is a person living in Ireland allowed to be refused aboard a plane if he's living in Ireland. He doesn't even need a passport. She gave me, so I said, but why did they do it to me? Years back, she said, because of your color of your skin. I said, if you were Irish, you could use a driver's license. And I got a refund from them, but I won't tell her all the negatives. You just tell her the positives and say, come on, get inside, get inside. You see, amen.
We just want to sing a song, we want to make justice to
Jesus, you washed me on that day at the cross. You purchased my ransom
and you died for me. Jesus, you won for me
on that day at the cross. You purchased my ransom, victorious. I stand victorious. Calvary has given me power to bring this world to pass, victorious. I stand victorious. Calvary has given me power to bring this world to pass. When you died for me, Jesus, you won for me. On that day at the cross, you purchased my ransom. When you died for me, Jesus, you won for me. On that day at the cross, you purchased my ransom, victorious. I stand victorious.
Hallelujah.
Calvary has given me power to bring this world to pass, victorious. I stand victorious. Satan didn't stand a chance.
Announced my rescue before I came to earth.
Lord, you made a way out this cage through Calvary. Oh, my sins are forgiven in the sea of forgetfulness. So I stand in the face of the enemy and say, give it back.
God is planned.
Blasphemy.
He's given me power.
He's given me power.
Authority to enforce the law of Satan. Give it back.
God has plans for me.
God has plans for me.
He's given me power.
He's given me power.
And authority to
enforce the law of Satan. Give it back. God has plans for me.
God has plans for me.
He's given me power.
He's given me power.
And authority to enforce the law of Satan.
Give it back. Give me my mountain. My mountain. My inheritance. I set an ulamag. Jesu and go be. Give me my scripture. My promise. My title deed. Satan will amag, Jesu mobile.
Amen.
Satan will amag, Jesu mobile. Give me my mountain, my inheritance. Satan, you're a liar, Christ has overcome. Give me my scripture, my promise, my life 4:5. Satan, you're a liar, Christ has overcome. Satan, you're a liar, Christ has overcome. Satan, you're a liar, Christ has overcome. Satan, you're a liar, it's already done.
Amen.
We ask for Amy and sister to come sing us a song. It's a long time.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Or you never obeyed him.
Yes.
You chose your own choice.
Yes. And every single time, you'll find us are in debt. Every single time. So it's really glad to be here this morning. I want to greet our visitor from Zimbabwe. God bless you, Brother Thomas Mwala. He's here to work in Kilkenny Provision. Also, Sister Gideon is with us. God bless you, Sister Gideon. And also, Sister Lee is asking us to greet Sister Andrea. She's with us for the first time today. Croatia. Let's have a, as we pray, remember Sister Julie, she's got exams this week. Father, we come just to look us up, just to trust in the Holy Lord. Even as you open up your word, even in the things that you say, Father, want to be in. Father, because one word from you is far more important than anything we think. Father, to follow you, what a blessed thing that it is. So bless and help us, Lord. I do pray for Sister Julie, pray for these exams. Grant your grace, Lord. I pray that you give her a spirit of wisdom.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, you give her peace inside her soul.
Amen.
Rest inside of herself. I pray you quicken in the things.
Hallelujah.
That she should be quickened in.
Amen.
That you give her good success.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the visitors and our gates. Bless our brother that's come to sojourn. Blessing him to Kenny, Father, and you prosper his ways.
Amen.
Father, Lord, use him, may he be a blessing, may he be blessed with.
Amen.
Even Lord, Father, our sister from Croatia, we pray for her, pray your grace upon her, that you visit her as well. Father, sister, be God bless her. Father, Lord, you know every one of us, we bring ourselves unto thee now.
Amen.
As you open up your words, open up our understanding, and guide us in what should be said. Father, let what shouldn't be said fall away. That Father, as we come to the end of the service, Father, we say it was good to be in this house. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for, Father, testimonies of your sons and your daughters. Thank you for the things that you do.
Yes,
Father, you're so faithful. And we thank you for that, Lord. Bless your people gathering in like manner. I pray for Brother Chris John and the saints, Brother George Quinn, Brother Tom as he brings you, Brother Puddies in Belfast. Bless him today.
Amen.
Father, Lord, use your people. Glorify your name, we ask.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just to get a reading from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, let's read from verse 4 up to verse 6. Familiar scripture. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. God is a God of diversity.
Amen.
I'm glad about it. When you travel, you learn that.
Amen.
God is the God of diversity. We get so used to doing things one way, and the Lord has many times take you in different places, different ways, or bring different people to teach you that, hey, I'm the God of variety. But in my garden, there's pink flowers, there's yellow flowers, there's blue flowers, there's big trees and small trees. In my creation, there's mountains and valleys, there's lakes and there's rivers, there's great vast oceans. That's all part of God's great diversity.
Amen.
And every one of us here is different today. That's the God of diversity. Let's also read Ephesians 4. Let's read verse 8 up to verse 12. Ephesians 4, 8 up to verse 12. Wherefore he said, Paul is quoting from the Psalms. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he descended, what is it? But he also ascended first. Descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the Lord bless his word, you may be seated, saints. Just a few minutes just to speak about the trip last week to Poland. Just to really appreciate the presence of the saints. Yeah, a few months back, I've been just received a phone call from Brother Jacek, he's the pastor of the place we went to in the south of Poland. is the church where Brother Greg's brother fellowships and Brother Daniel Mazur. Brother Daniel Mazur was sending warm greetings to all the saints. He's really doing well. But you know the message, there's different camps and there's different groups. And you can get used to maybe fellowshipping with a certain group of believers. And then the Lord also wants you sometimes to know that on the other side of the fence, God is working just as much as with his children as on this side of the camp. You know, like the prophet says, we make our fences and we pull our fences and the ducks will be there. And these ducks don't fellowship much with those ducks. But once in a while the water rises and gets above the level of the fence and the ducks start to fellowship with each other. And we start realizing that, hey, we're all ducks. It doesn't matter about a human being. Fences and barriers that we put sometimes. So, when I received the call from Brother Yatsik, it was really interesting to me because I'd never met the brother before. So we went now, I went with Brother Greg, and it was a real wonderful time. You know, to really meet the brother, every servant of God, God makes him in a unique way. Amen. To meet the conditions of that place. And I mean, if you ask Brother Greg, it was greatly inspiring to meet those brethren right in the south of Poland, right near the Czech border. Not very far from Brother Zalish in the sense there, but brothers that are running with a vision. Amen. You know, I never heard very much about the brother. The church isn't very much bigger than ours, two more people than us, but it was very inspiring to see what they've done. Amen. Living in a country like Poland, where, I mean, it's not a rich place. You know, people don't earn big salaries like in places like here, but the saints have really, really established a testimony.
Yes.
Now they've really left their mark where they are and throughout Poland. And it was very inspiring to see that. Now when we went, we got there pretty late Friday night. We had a long drive, got about 1 o'clock Saturday morning to the brother's house. Next morning we got up and there was a fellowship meeting at the church. So the brother took us to the church, and the church which they have, it's a real wonderful testimony because they were like us. You know, they went to different places and they found this didn't suit, maybe they got moved from place to place. Until they really took it serious and started praying to say, Lord, surely you have a solution for this. So some brothers' attention was attracted to a place just outside of the town where they are. And the place was a notorious pub. It was a bar and a nightclub. And it was such a notorious place that the police had closed it down. So it became a little bit of a derelict building. So Brother Yatsik said, let me phone and see how much the people want. So he phoned the wife of the owner of the building, and the person said, okay, we want 100,000 euro for the place. So Brother Yatsik said, I'll offer you 35,000. So the people said, you're crazy. So the husband told the wife, now, even if that man phones again, I don't want to speak to that man again, it's crazy. We spent more than 30,000 euro fixing the place up. So Brother Yatsik said, I prayed for a little bit more about it, and then I phoned up again. And he said, and I said to the people, the owner of the building, I said, please, don't you see what's happening here? You know that whole neighborhood where this nightclub was, you know, had been so much affected by the things that we've done in that nightclub. There were rape cases, there was drunkenness, there was violence, all these kind of things. He said, you allowed your building to be used for that. He said, now we want to use it for the kingdom of God. Instead of being a place that's used to break up marriages and to encourage people into fornication and to encourage people into drunkenness, so we want this place now to be used as a place to establish the kingdom of God in the lives of the people. And so the man gave him an endeavor for 45,000.
Amen.
100,000 to 45,000.
Amen.
There was a lot of work they had to do. So the brothers were showing us all how it took them 2 years. How they got their funds, it was really powerful. How they got the money to pay for that place. But then they worked and they built it into such a wonderful place. That's a big place. Like Greg will tell you, it's a very nice auditorium. But then they have all the facilities that they need. They have a recording studio. Because there they do the translation work, they do the work into Polish from English. So Brother Yatsik does the voiceover when the prophet preaches and he translates at the same time. He's done about 150 messages into Polish like that. They print the books, they have their printing facility, they have a recording studio. They have everything that you need to really fulfill the purpose that God has called you for.
Amen.
And when I asked him, how did you get this like nice recording studio? He said, some of the younger brothers in the church, they came to me and said, we have some extra rooms in the church, would you mind? If you set one up as an employee student, then he said as long as you kind of utilize the place, and they really do a good job.
Yeah.
It's a proper place, a proper acoustics, proper equipment, and then they do music CDs. So the musicians will gather together, they do CDs for the young children. They get the young children in, they have like a children's choir, they sing and they make music and they spread it all throughout the churches and so forth. And it kind of was inspiring to see that. And when we met together now at the fellowship meeting with the deacons and other ministers and so forth, you know, I mean, every church has its issues.
Yeah,
every church has this and that, but it's so wonderful to see people that united around a common vision.
Yeah.
And the vision there, it's so clear. Now, why, Brother Yatsik, you've got maybe a reputation around and about some people don't fellowship with him? I learned why. It's because he doesn't compromise with the message.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody doesn't believe that Revelation 10 is fulfilled, he doesn't really fellowship with those people.
Amen.
You know, just his nature, the way that God made the man. And I so respected that in the man because he had his vision. So he says they had one elderly man, one of the fathers of one of the believers, came to the church and they tried to tell him about the message. And that old man said, how can you say this is the message of God? If this man, William Graham, has never been on TV, has never even been in the newspaper in Poland. And that challenged one of the brothers in church. So one brother took a deep course to the deep, I think it was, sent it to the TV station. A few weeks later, Brother Yatsik gets a telephone call. And it's the television station. And they say, you received the material that you sent us about William Branham. We have a program on TV about the supernatural once a week. So can we come and speak to you? Because we're interested to know more about this ministry of Brother Branham. So he spent 3 days with it. They came, the television guys, and gave them all the material. He went through the three pools, he went through the cloud, he went through everything. And then these people said, are there any eyewitnesses who are alive still, who were with this man? If you say that he was a prophet. So he arranged now different believers in America, very good, and he said, well, if you want to go across, there's believers. So he didn't hear back from them. About a year later, they came back. And they said, look, we've got a little bit delayed in our things, but we want to make a program, a 22-minute program, to put on television. It's going to go on in, on this program. So he helped put everything together. And then they broadcast on national TV. And the television station said, we can't put more direct details. It's against the laws of the land. Anybody who phones us asking questions will point them to a website.
Yeah.
And the brothers have really done a very good website, because on their website, they've recorded like 4 or 5 minute clips about all the things that we believe. Because, you know, like Ray Yatsik said, and I like what he said, he says, well, you've really got to move with the times. He said, people, this is, don't read it. No, you can send them a book and they're not going to read it.
Yes.
But if you can make a 4 minute something on YouTube showing what is the serpent seal, what is the cloud, and things like that, a person will come to a website quicker than they watch for 4 or 5 minutes. And the response was outstanding. The response was so outstanding to that television program until so many people asked for it to be played again that it was played a total of 5 times. It was played again and again and again and again. That's a powerful thing to say. Just one person having a burden inside of himself to say, surely there's something that I can do to spread this message. And putting something in the hands of the Lord and the Lord blessing that now. It was wonderful. Brother Yatsik said when he was young as a believer, he was in church. He took 3 days off. He didn't tell anybody in the church. He wasn't the pastor then. And he says he had printed 2,000, he said, between 2,000 and 3,000 posters concerning the message just with their website job. And he said, I took 3 days. He said, I had such a wonderful time just me and the Lord. He says, I traveled right from the south of Poland, right to the Baltic Sea, right to the north. He said, in every place I would stop, I had my big tin of glue, and I would go and stick up the posters of the message.
Amen.
And he said, we had such a response. He said, it was amazing. He said, we sent people to so many different groups around the country just by doing that.
Amen.
I think that's a real powerful testimony.
Amen.
And I saw that, but I think Brother Greg will agree that, you know, you find certain people that may be misunderstood by other people, but when you really go and see it, you understand why. Because some people can be so focused on their vision.
Yeah.
They're so busy with trying to do what God has called them to do that when someone else wants to come and, you know, like the prophet speaks about the eagle, remember that time with a little squirrel there, I think that chipmunk, and he says that chipmunk was saying chatter, 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 and then that eagle looked like it wasn't He wasn't so interested in this challenge. I think it's good sometimes that we just shut ourselves in, we forget about all the controversies, we forget about all the scandals, forget about what's going on in America and the election and all those kind of things. And you get yourself focused once again on the vision. And get yourself focused once again on the call that you've been called to. And I believe that's such a powerful thing. One man in the hands of God. The prophet says, what is that in your hand? You might say, but what can I use? What's in your hand? And you connect that into the hands of the Lord and see what you can do with that. Yeah, it's like when you're speaking with the brother from Croatia? Brother Sasha. And you were saying about how they just used Facebook. And they used Facebook in Croatia and how they spread the message. Just by setting up a Facebook page and really putting the doctrines of the message, the teachings of the message, the different things. And then answering people's questions. When people now would contact them and answering people's questions and then sending things to people who are requesting for material which they were offering. And just how much they built up the message in that place. Friends, in every place, there's different ways, there's different methods.
Hallelujah.
But God has a system.
Amen.
He's got something that He'll bless. And in every place, God has His people that He's already prepared to do that work. And then it's like we were saying that brother preaching in America about when your destiny collides with purpose. You know, when you have a purpose, something raises up inside of you and you get a burden inside of yourself to do something. And you have like a purpose. And that purpose now collides with your destiny. Something really is going to take place. So, tonight was really a good time. Just to see that. And on the Saturday night, we had a service, and then all the saints came from Brother Zalish and them, such as that. So, we did greetings from Brother Von Guy and Brother Gregory and all the saints there. And the saints came from right far, from right in the center of Czech as well, Brother Hushek and those brothers we saw right before. And it was really so wonderful to see them. Because saints, we've got something so powerful to unite ourselves around. The Satan wants to bring this and that to divide us, but when you really get together, when you speak to different people on different sides of a divide, the prophet says, I try to sit down together with the oneness and the Trinitarians and tell them you're actually saying the same thing. But you're just using different terminology.
Yeah,
we both actually do believe the same thing.
Amen.
But it says, you know, the devil wants to get in sometimes and bring these kind of divisions on the minor points of a major doctrine that we all believe together, like the prophet says. And I think that's always got to be our enemy. We've always got to recognize that, because there's a vision, there's a purpose, and there's a call. And every single one of us is part of a ministry. And it's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age. And every single one of us is called to play our part in that ministry. But there's diversities of gifts, there's diversities of operations, diversities of administration. There's different ways that the Lord works inside of this ministry. But every single one of us is called to the ministry.
Amen.
The prophet says that. He says that's what the Reformation didn't fix 100%. He says this divide between the clergy and the laity. The prophet says that never was there in the beginning. In the early church, everyone was part of the ministry. Everyone has a ministry. That's what the Bible teaches us. Everyone is called to be part of the body and to express something in the body of Christ. But there came, you know, this Nicolaitanism which was built up, that all the ministry was now put just on certain people. And then the congregation, now they weren't really part of the ministry. They wanted to be ministered unto. But that's not really the purpose that Christ has in mind. And no genuine believer who's kissed of the, like the prophet says, the cup of heaven's blessing, will ever be satisfied with that. Because there's something in you that wants to express itself.
Amen.
That whenever you get in the Spirit, whenever you draw near to the Lord, there's something in you that wants to express itself.
Amen.
And that's the ministry of Christ wanting to express through you. The prophet says there's the ministry of music. That is a ministry. Now there's so many different types of ministries that you find in the body of Christ. You know, and that is something which we shouldn't take lightly. Let's look at our Ephesians 4. Just to show that gifts, you know, these gifts which the Lord has in His body. Paul's speaking just of 5 of them here, but there's a lot of other gifts, a lot of other callings. But these are not things that we should take lightly. And Paul, excuse me, he wants us to see that. Look in verse 8. Ephesians 4, Paul says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Amen.
So what Paul is speaking about here, he's speaking about a figure, a picture from the old times where maybe a great general would go to war. Yeah? And he'd go with his troops and he'd get a great campaign. And this general would wage warfare, defeat the enemy. When he would come back now from this great battle, he would come with the tokens of victory.
Amen.
He would come back with some of the captains that were taken captive. Maybe he'd come back with some of the generals from the other army, some of the great warriors from the other army. He'd bring them back in chains. And they would be brought back as tokens of victory. And then all the spoil of battle, the gold, the silver, the armament, all the different things which they'd won as the spoils of war, they would bring those things back in great chariots. And as they came back into the city, maybe Rome, whatever that it was, there'd be a great victory procession. And this general, this emperor, whoever it was that won the victory, they would be on a horse in front of this great procession. And they would be leading now all this host of captives with them, showing the great victory they'd won. And they would have all of the spoils of battle, and all of the things which they'd plundered, and all the spoils of war. And then they would take them up now to a high place, a holy mountain. And then they would now, you know, the emperor himself, whoever it was, would come and get this general and would honor him. And they would now present all of these gifts and all the things which had been plundered in war, would present them now to this mighty conqueror who had overcome in battle. And immediately what he would do, instead of keeping those things to himself, he would now distribute those to the people. So that the people could all rejoice and benefit from his victory that he had won. So everybody now would go from that place having tasted the fruits of victory. And that is what Paul is saying that Jesus did for us. He came down, he descended first. He came down amongst us. He went right into the thickest of the battle. He fought the enemy. He overcame. He went down, descended down. He went and plundered hell.
Amen.
The Bible says this, says he took captivity captive. So there was Abraham and Isaac and there was Sarah and all of them. They were captive in paradise. They couldn't go into the very presence of God. So Christ went down first, like the brothers took the keys of death and hell. Then went across to paradise. And then went up with this great victory procession.
Amen.
And he ascended up on high.
Amen.
And when he ascended up on high, Jesus, through the virtue of who he is, the virtue of his perfect work that he achieved, he never kept the spoils of victory for himself. When he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. So now he distributed now amongst his church, amongst his body now, the spiritual blessings, these gifts that he himself had purchased and obtained at such a great cost. And why did he do that? It tells us in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
That actually means for the full equipping of the saints.
Amen.
You know, so he went up. The most important thing to him was his sons and daughters needed to be fully equipped. So he fought the battle. He won the victory. He overcame. Maybe he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not up, if I ascend not up, then the Comforter won't come. So when he went up now, he sent gifts down to me. And those gifts now are to testify of the greatness of his victory. But these gifts that he gave, like Paul is showing us here, there's a diversity. They gave diverse gifts. He gave this fivefold ministry to the church for a specific purpose. And the first thing that he says is for the perfecting of the saints. So that the saints may be fully equipped, may be complete. That's what the ministry is for. What for? For the work of the ministry. So Paul's not saying that these gifts were given for the work of the ministry. He says, look, these gifts were given to perfect the saints. So that the saints will do the work of the ministry. And he says, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the very purpose that this ministry is to equip you so that you can can do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
And so that you can edify the body of Christ. That's why the New Testament church, the Ephesian age, the prophet, there's another Ephesian. Every single believer realized they were called under sacred covenant. Every single one realized that they had a gift, a calling, a commission, a purpose. Every single one of them. And they realized that it was a great cost. It was a great, great cost that this was purchased. This was the purchase of the blood of Christ. This was now the spoils of war, the great victory that he won. Where was his heart? His heart was on his church. He wanted his church to come to perfection. He wanted his church to fully express its purpose. He wanted his church to do the work of the ministry. Every single one of us is called to the work of the ministry. Every single one of us is equipped to. He is equipping you. Whenever the Lord visits you, when he speaks to you, whenever you have fellowship and communion with you, it's a further equipping for the ministry. So that you can minister. So that you can express him. Because what is a ministry? It's Christ in you. It's the expression of Christ in you. So he comes into you because he wants to be expressed. And you can express him in a way that no one else can express him. Because there's nobody else like you. There's no one who's been through the things that you've been through. There's no one else that has exactly the same temperament and characteristics that you have. There's no one who's had an upbringing like you, which has molded certain things into your character and certain things into your experience. So when now the anointing oil comes in, when now he comes and he takes his place within the veil, when he comes and the soul starts wanting to express itself in ministry, what is it? It's going to be a unique ministry. And that's why he knows where to put you. He knows when to put you in the place that he puts you.
That's right.
Because he has a purpose. Because he needs ministry. He knows the outside needs ministry. That's why we'll see. That's why there's evangelists. That's why there's apostles. You know, there's that kind of a ministry. There's ministries that need to go and sow the seed. There's ministries that need to go to the virgin territory. Yeah. And it's not only the fivefold ministry gifts like that. Because inside of the bosoms of different believers here today, there's a burden and a desire to something to people that are allowed. Something is also ministry for within. Paul said, I saw Apollos water, but God be with you. So some people are going to go and sow, and other people are going to come and water that which is sowing. The son are going to go and cut down the trees and pioneer the way. That's what the apostles are going to do. So that others can enter in behind them. You know, and enter into the labor. And Jesus said when he looked at his disciples, he said, the harvest fields are white. The laborers are few. You are entering in now to receive a reward for that you labor not in. Other people labor and you enter in now to harvest from their labor. That's why there's these diversities of ministries. One ministry feeds into the other. One ministry is so much confidence now that each of us have the right motive, the right objective, and we're in the spirit. And we're united under the same heavenly vision. These gifts and callings and these burdens and desires inside of our hearts, every single one of them will work together for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's got to be these different gifts. There's got to be. The prophet says that God's provided healing. He says gifts of preaching, teaching, all kind of prophetic gifts are to bring you to a realization of what happened at heaven.
Amen.
So every one of these gifts is to glorify Christ. At the moment you say a gift glorifying a man, lifting up a man, lifting up his ministry, something's wrong. But a genuine gift, but the motive's wrong. No, the spirit behind what's being done here is wrong, because these gifts were given at such a great cost by Christ. And what are they to do? To glorify him. To glorify his work. That's why an apostle is to glorify Christ. An evangelist, when he gets in the spirit, he glorifies the work of Christ. A teacher is to glorify Christ. The prophet is to get in the spirit of prophecy to prophesy about Christ and his work. The prophet says these gifts are to bring you to realization. so that you can enjoy and receive the attributes of Calvary. Not produce the attributes.
Amen.
But to bring you to a knowledge of what's been done.
Amen.
So we don't have to produce anything. The work is finished. His attributes have already expressed themselves to finish the work of redemption for us. But now he comes down, he puts gifts in, he puts callings inside of people to bring us to realization. To bring you to realization of who you are in Christ. To bring you to realization of what you can be in the hands of God. And God can use you for your glory. So he has these different gifts. Now, the prophet speaks about different people. He speaks of them in another one in warning, then judgment. He says, a prophet, he speaks about him first. He says, a prophet, a real genuine prophet, is a special person. My thought in this, when I was really meditating on this week, I thought, you know, if this is so important to Christ, this ministry is so important to him, that he paid the supreme price, that when he ascended up on high, he could have done so many other things with his glory. He could have done so many other things with his power, but the supreme thing when he won the victory was he wanted to give gifts to men so that he could perfect his church. I thought to myself, we really need to appreciate these gifts.
Amen.
We really do. And before we can really appreciate them, I thought, let's maybe try to understand them a little bit better. Because there's diversities of gifts, diversities of operations. So maybe if we can start to understand how these gifts God wants them to operate. Now the purpose that God put these gifts in the body, to some people we already know it, but it's a good thing to go back and think, to say, this is so important to Christ. Am I taking full advantage of what he's done for me? Or am I fully respecting, you know, this work that Christ has done? And like I said, all of the ministry, as we'll see as we go through. So the prophet speaks about a prophet. He says, a prophet is a special person. Not special to be any different from anybody else. So no person's better than anybody else. But he says, but he's got a special job. Now, that's why you are special as well.
Amen.
You have a special job.
Amen.
You're different than your brothers and sisters and the people that are in the world at the moment. There's something special about you as a believer because God has a special purpose for you.
Hallelujah.
There's something special he wants to use you for, to express to you, for you to achieve. So that's why he's got a special job. He says, and having a special commission, he's got to be special.
Hallelujah.
This is a little bit out of the way from the others. So man, if he's a prophet, if this is the gift that has been deposited in him from before the foundation of the world, by the foreknowledge of Christ, this gift was put inside of him. There was a very specific purpose for that gift. There's a very specific purpose for the operation of that gift. If God sends a gift, there's got to be people that need that gift.
Amen.
Obviously. Because God is a great businessman.
Amen.
He runs his things to perfection. His great deals work together to make that he's going to have Philip an evangelist. He's going to have an Ethiopian eunuch that's going to need evangelists. And he's going to bring the two together at exactly the right time, exactly the right place. And God is going to express the purpose that he sent that gift. And then you're going to find that this evangelist is going to evangelize to this man. He's going to go back to Ethiopia and join his country upside down. He's going to take the gospel to Ethiopia.
Amen.
A man that had great authority. And God had prepared this Ethiopia. He was a man that had authority, could put a lot of influence when he went back home. And he comes to the temple, doesn't fully understand the things that he's reading. And God has to send him
Amen.
And that gift has to intersect his life.
Amen.
And that gift, this man, Philip, has to be in the hands of Christ. He's been led of the angel of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there's a specific operation of this for him. And what's it to do? It's to equip this man so that he can go do the work of the ministry where he's going.
Amen.
And then this man goes, having been equipped now by the ministry, he goes and expresses something which he's ordained to. It's the same as Aaron in the Bible. We're speaking about it when we are away. Aaron was clothed by Moses. And Moses was the messenger. He was the prophet. And Moses caught the vision and he saw His priestly garments, and he saw the mitre on his head and the breastplate and all the different things that Aaron had to put on. I'm not speaking fast because there's interpreting going on. It's easy, not easy to slow down. But Aaron, everything that he needed to fulfill his commission was ministered to him. It was part of his call, it was part of his commission. God wasn't going to call this man to do the job of the high priest without equipping him to be the high priest. He gave him the breastplate, the 12 stones on his heart, the people on his heart. The stones on his shoulders to bear the burdens of the people. You know, the mitre on his head saying, holiness unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He gave it everything that he did. The sacred anointing oil on his head that went down to the hems of his garment.
Amen.
A peculiar anointing that he put upon that man. And Aaron just did the normal service of the Lord, and then came the crisis that day. Yeah? And then the plague was among the people. And now he was the right man.
Amen.
In the right place at the right time. There was nobody else that could do what he needed now to do.
Amen.
When the people were perishing now, he was the only one called. He was the only one commissioned. He was the only one who had what it took, the attributes that it took, to go now and meet the challenge of that particular crisis, that particular day. And when he went and he stood with his censer between the living and the dead, death respected
Aaron. Hallelujah.
Not because it was just Aaron. Like I would have said, if he had come that day just dressed in his noble robes, the death angel would have smitten him.
That's right.
But it was his ministry. It's what he had been equipped for under the ministry of Moses.
Amen.
Moses had the vision. Aaron now walked into the vision. He was equipped according to the vision. And he waited for fulfilled his call. And friend, you and I exactly the same as him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And every single one of us had been equipped.
Right.
If you baptize into the body of Christ, you have been equipped.
Amen.
Like with Aaron, he felt for the people. We said it the other week. He could have taken an offense at the people. The people have been wanting at the beginning of the chapter to take away the priesthood from him. The people have gathered against Moses and against Aaron.
Amen.
So it was very easy for him just to have been a man. And then he would never have fulfilled his sacred calling. But there was something inside of him that he could kick into another gear. That when he saw now the call, he heard the call for service, he saw the need of the hour, there was something inside of him that God had ordained, that he felt a compassion for the people.
Amen.
That he felt the people are perishing. I'm the only one that can help these people.
Yeah.
And he could cast aside his humanity, his human feelings, and the history it had with these people, and he could go and throw himself in the gap.
Amen.
The promise that there was Christ in them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just as much as when Moses threw himself in the gap, it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses.
Amen.
And it's the Spirit of Christ in him.
Amen.
And the promise is it takes the Spirit of Christ in a man to set him out in the front line, winning souls to Christ.
Amen.
It's going to take the Spirit of Christ in a man. But there's going to be two things here. There's going to be your call, your commission, your purpose, your gifting, and also your nature. Because God's going to use you the way that he made you. And that's why it's already a good thing to go back to these things once in a while. Because, you know, there's such a diversity in the body, but if we're not careful, there's such a tendency that we get used to seeing things a certain way, doing things a certain way. We sing our songs a certain way. Yeah, that's when you go somewhere else, when you hear something else, no, they should do it like us. Or, why doesn't he preach like me? No. Why doesn't he pray like me? Why doesn't she sing like so? No. Don't sing like anybody.
Amen.
Don't preach like anybody.
Amen.
Just be yourself.
And
be in the Spirit. Because that's the way God calls.
Amen.
God has diversity in the body.
Amen.
That's why some of us are quiet and timid people. This is what the prophet says, and we'll come back to when he speaks about these different offices. But he says, in things that are to be, when he speaks of theophanies. And then he speaks now of your theophany being expressed through you. You have your calling. He says, he made you in a variety. Some men are real blusterers. And he's noisy. Some people are noisy. Yeah, when you go, ha 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 ha. Some people you go, no one else can speak.
You
know Brother Rock from the Lord. You visit him at his house. You'll be like, if you take two sentences in 1.5 hours. And he tries not to be like that. He'll try to look for, sorry, you say something as well. And then you'll get through half a sentence and then grow. But it's nice fellowship, but that's why they got people there. Some are real blusterous, noisy. Some are real dogmatic. That's argumentative. I don't mean some people argumentative. Some people just like to argue. No, that doesn't mean that. Some people are made by them. Some people are peacemakers. Some people are diplomatic. Now, some people are soft. Some people are cold. Different attributes inside a group of people. The problem is that some are real dogmatic and others are fine. And others are kind. You just find all different kinds of people in his kingdom. See, look at St. Peter and judge him, compare him by Andrew. Andrew is that prayer warrior. Just stayed on his knees all the time.
Amen.
Our friends, we need that kind of expression.
Amen.
We need people that have got that kind of a ministry. They just love to be prayed. Other people, it's hard for them to pray. That's just the way that it is. They don't have that Daniel Nash kind of a burden. That they can shut themselves away for days at a time and just seek his face. That everybody has something inside of them that it wants to be expressed. And if we can get the human element out of it, if we get our human spirit out of our own reasonings, imaginations, our human feelings out of the way, and allow that to express itself, that's the ministry of Christ. That's the ministry that you're being called to. But there's such a diversity of ministries. Andrew's that prayer warrior. And the Apostle Peter was one of those firebrands that preached. We know those kind, like Brother Crosby. He'll come and bomb this and bomb that. And the apostle can't get to fix the problem. The prophet says that the evangelist is a firebrand. He just comes and bomb. There's a problem there. Bum. This person's not just problem. Bum. Like Peter many times put his hand in his mouth. So it might be the same things that he regretted. God makes people different. So he says, the Apostle Peter was one of those five brands that preached and so forth. And Paul was more scholarly-like.
Amen.
More like a prophet or something. Yes, so it's a different expression. It's like when John comes and then there's Jesus. We've said it many times before. That stumbled John. Because John was a firebrand. John was a voice crying in the wilderness. And he was the sort of man, no, it's not lawful for you to have her. Yet God put his finger right in the face of Herod. Not all of us can do that, friends. Some of us will be intimidated. And we'll ask someone else to do it. But it's that's where God makes people. But you find John and Tech, it's not lawful for you to have her. She's married already. And then he's a voice crying in the wilderness. You generation of vipers. Don't come and tell me that you're sons of Abraham. God is able of these stones to raise. That was his ministry. But when Jesus came down, Jesus didn't come like that. Jesus came and said he didn't raise his voice in the streets. Jesus came on the teaching way. That's what the book, he came on the teaching way. He'd come and sit with the people, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed is this. Yes, Jesus did have his times and he'd whip them out and all that, but generally speaking, it wasn't like that. He'd be speaking to Nicodemus. He'd be sitting in the temple teaching his disciples. He'd have a great crowd of people. That's just the way that he expressed himself. And when John heard of the works of Jesus, it stumbled. Because he thought, surely, this is the Messiah. When he comes, he's going to come burning things up. And he's going to come, surely the Bible says he's going to judge things. He's going to gather the wheat to his garner and burn the chaff of the branch of fire. And then the prophet says, when he heard of the work of Jesus, that Jesus was meek and lowly. How? It stumbled him. Because John got into that mindset that everything must be like he was, the way he saw things, the way he handled things. And that's the greatest thing we need to overcome in ourselves. Is you're going to find that there's completely different ministries in the body. And sometimes God might want to use somebody so different than you to minister to you. Because it's the unexpected, unchanging God.
Amen.
Unexpected way.
Amen.
And he comes in just, you think of Naaman. You know, Naaman, he was a leader. We'll see it. He was like Paul. And he had that kind of a character. He was a leader. When he spoke, people would move. He was a great man. He had a great reputation as a general in the army of Syria. But when God wanted to speak to him, how did God speak to him? The first thing God did, took a slave girl from his house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how God got the message to him.
Amen.
Yeah, and maybe Naaman at first, oh, this is good to tell me about that. Your little girl is coming to her mistress and saying, the prophet down in Israel, if only my Lord would go down to the prophet and be healed of his leprosy. But that was only the God was ministering to them.
Amen.
The good thing is that he listened. But when he got down now to Elisha, Elisha sent a servant. Elisha never came back.
Mm.
And Elisha, the servant, just came and said, look, the prophet said, go there about 5th, 7th time. You'll be well. And then God, on his high horse, I've come all this way. Doesn't he know who I am? I'm a general. I'm a great man in Syria. And the prophet himself doesn't come and speak to me. I thought he would come out, call upon the name of his God, smite his hand on the place where there's a leprosy. But friends, God many times doesn't do that for
us. Amen.
And that's where the great battle sometimes comes in. And then Naaman gets in his chariot again and he's going to go back with his leprosy. And then he's got some good brothers there around him. You say, my Lord, the prophet told you to do some great thing. You would have done it. He says, I asked you to do something so small. Why not be able to go? And the prophet said, I can imagine him holding his nose when he went down in the door. But that was God's provided way. And that's what I'm saying with these gifts in the body, friends. Be careful how we approach these things. Because God has a diversity. There's different ways that God wants to work inside of our life. And even with one another. But there's different ways, different people. And sometimes you can find it's an unlikely source. Sometimes maybe real good spiritual advice, which is exactly what you need to overcome your current problem, might be delivered to you in a way that you can expect.
Yeah.
Somebody might say, you've been like this for too long. Stop that. Man, you might be able to tell it. How can that person speak to me like that? Maybe that is God's voice to you.
Yeah.
If you just get yourself out the way and wait on the Lord and discern the voice. You find that was Christ ministering to you.
Yeah.
He has diversity in what he does. That's why the prophet speaks of those people. Let's just look at these ministries just in brief. Let me look at the natures that go in these ministries. So the prophet says about a prophet, he's like an eagle. He rises up high.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Now, prophets always represented God to the people. So when a prophet came, he came speaking on behalf of God.
Amen.
Whereas in the Old Testament, the priests now would represent the people to God. Because remember when we looked at those ministries, you've got to have the balance on these things. No, because sometimes we need that kind of ministry. Sometimes we need that strength. God has said this. Line up with his word. You need that kind of a thing. Someone to come and shake you like that. You need someone to stand and speak on behalf of God to you.
Amen.
That's what the prophet is. He's delivering good. But the prophets, one thing I like about most of the prophets, very important, like Jeremiah and them, they came expressing the heart of God. He was the weeping prophet. So when he delivers his message, he's weeping as well. Jeremiah, he's showing that God is sad. He doesn't want you to be like this. No, so prophets, they really do that. They have that kind of a ministry. They express God to the people. But the prophet then goes on to say, but you see in the church, there's the pastor. The pastor is a special person. He's built to where he can put up with the fusses of the
team. Hallelujah.
He's a burden bearer.
Amen.
He's the ox of the team.
Yes.
He's a man that can sit down, somebody's got something against another, reason it out. Now, it's very different than a prophet.
Amen.
He's going to handle things different than a prophet. He's going to handle things different than an evangelist. The prophet says an evangelist is a special man. He's a man that's burning like a fireball. He runs into a city, preaches his message, then gets out of there somewhere else. You see, it's a special man. So he's going to come and he's going to reach out to the lost. I like the definition of an evangelist when I was looking up the meaning of an evangelist. An evangelist carries a great burden for those who are not part of the kingdom of God. It's not everybody carries a great burden. But there's certain people who will be sitting here today, or when you pray, you'll be thinking of Lord the lost. That'll be the real burden that you have. Depending on your calling, depending on your ministry. Others will be burdened for their children. Others will be burdened for other things. But an evangelist, he has a great burden for those that are not part of the kingdom, for those that are lost. And then he has an anointing to preach the gospel to them.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And it comes with great conviction, draws them to the Lord. And they often have signs and wonders following them. So that's an evangelist. Brother Tom is an evangelist. That's a perfect illustration of Brother Tom. An evangelist isn't somebody that wants to come and spend a lot of time in a place. They're laboring with people. An evangelist, he wants to be there, campaign for a week, then he's off somewhere else. He's not there to take those sheep, the ones that have been born again, and shake them up, and take them forward in the kingdom. But that's not his ministry. He can only take people so far. And you find that even in the body of Christ, there's certain people that are good at winning people. But they can only take people so far.
Yes.
Then they need to hand them over to somebody else because that's not their calling. Now they can't take people very far. They say that an apostle makes disciples. An evangelist makes converts. And it's true. No, an evangelist really preaches. There'll be conversion, conversion, conversion. Now somebody needs to take those people and make them into disciples.
Yes, sir.
Amen. People that can take up their cross and follow Christ. The prophet says in evening time evangelism, he says, decisions, decisions. He's speaking about Holy Grail. An evangelist. He had a masterly gift to get people to make a decision. But the prophet says, what good is there for decisions? He said, a decision is a stone. But what good is a stone without a stonemason?
Amen.
To come with a sharp tool that you shake now that stone and to fit it in its position.
Amen.
But he had his gift. If you ever watched, I watched when he was preaching in London. I think 1994. I remember back home, I watched it. It was so powerful to see. Yeah, when we said it was packed. I think when we said it was 100,000 people. And there were people on the pitch as well, all around. And he preached greater than Solomon is here. And he preached about Solomon. And then he made his altar call. And it was incredible. There came men, businessmen, carrying briefcases from the far off side of the state and coming and standing in front. There came people from all walks of life. Thousands of people. And I looked and said, but hey, how did you get such a response? It's just the gift that there was inside.
Hallelujah!
And the prophet says he had a gift. He has a gift of emptying out, but he never had a gift of filling up.
Yes, sir.
So he could get people to repent, but he never had something to take them further from there. And I think as long as we understand the limitations that we have,
yes, sir.
When you realize, okay, I'm good at this, I'm good at accommodating strangers, I'm good at being friendly to people, but I'm not so good at taking them much further than that. I think that's a key. Understand the limitations, the boundaries and parameters of your call. If Uzziah had done that, he wouldn't have gone into trouble. But he went beyond the boundaries of his call. He wasn't called to go and represent people in the presence of God. It was the priest. He was called to be a king, to build bulwarks and fortifications and engines and weapons of war. That's what he was to do. To prepare his people for battle and to defend his people. And he was greatly used in combat. And that's why it's an evangelist is like that. That's why it says a teacher. The prophet says the teacher is a special man. He sits back under the anointing of the Spirit and is able to take the words and put them together by the Holy Spirit that the pastor or the evangelist, either one, could not compare with him. You take by George Martin, people like this. Pure teachers in the message. They have that kind of a gift. And they can take things. In the dictionary it said, evangelists reveal the heart of God, the heart. But teachers reveal the mind of God. And that's true. No, it's the mysteries. It's the hidden purpose. And that's what teachers are going to come and bring to you. They're going to
for sure.
What did God have in his mind? What does God have in his mind?
They say prophets have the revelation of things hidden in the future. With teachers, things hidden in the world.
Amen.
So prophet will be Agabus will be telling you, there's coming a famine. This is going to happen in the future. Where's the teacher is going to come and tell you, this is what's happening in the world. It's such a different kind of a ministry. And I believe saying to us to get the most from the fivefold ministry, we really need to understand.
Amen.
We really need to understand the diversity. You really need to understand the various diverse operations of this kingdom. Because that's the way that God made his people. They say that teachers reveal the specifics, prophets reveal the overall picture. And that's true. The prophet in our day came and said, I don't have enough time to get deep into a lot of these things. I'll give you the keys. And I'll give you, I'll tell you, this is what the fifth seal is, it soars under the altar. He says, and then the ministry will pick it up.
Amen.
Deep down, deep inside us.
Amen.
And they will
Amen.
Take all of the nourishment from there and come and present it to the people. So we need that kind of thing as well. They say that prophets have foresight, because teachers have insight. Insight is a deep understanding of the principles of this. Why things work the way that they do. There's a prophet has foresight. He can see things. Or if somebody gets in the spirit of prophecy, even if they're preaching, they'll warn you of things to come without even realizing it. You look at Joshua that day when he got up and Achan was sitting in the congregation just before they went into Jericho. What did Joshua see? He says, touch not the unclean things.
Yes,
to be a curse and you bring a curse upon our
Israel.
And in the very next chapter, Achan goes and does exactly what was preached the chapter before.
Amen.
Now, if Achan could have listened to the prophetic word, it was a warning, it was foresight telling him, don't do this if this is going to happen. And why did Joshua get burdened like that? It was God's grace.
Amen.
It was God's grace to Achan. It was God's grace to the camp of Israel. But he never sought like that Achan. Achan had some other idea. He wasn't in the spirit. Maybe he wasn't in the service that day. Whatever that it was. But the word of prophecy came his way. And would have kept him back. Held him back. Would have saved him and saved the camp of Israel from a lot of trouble. If he could have discerned. This is God speaking to me. Why is Joshua speaking in this tone of voice? No, and then God would have anointed that word. It would have struck Achan. Maybe already at that time he was planning in his mind what he was going to do. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to see what I can find. I'm going to, you know, make enrich myself from this. And then this sort of prophecy struck the minister. Rebuked him now. Even before he had done that yet. And if he could have seen that as being the voice of God, it would have been wonderful. But he didn't pick it up as being the voice of God. And friends, are we not guilty of that many times?
Amen.
Because when God puts gifts in
you, yes, sir.
When God puts a gift in you, God puts a call in you, you still have the human element.
Amen.
That's how the prophet, when Sister Mead at that time, slammed and joined his face. And the word of prophecy came. He said, go and read, you know, Numbers, whatever it is, about Moses' sister. And then he went and he knocked on the door, and Sister Mead said, leave me alone. And then he said, I have a word from the Lord for you. And the prophecy got so good. And then she came and she opened the door because she realized now this man wasn't speaking in his own private capacity anymore. He was speaking in his office. He was speaking on behalf of the Lord. That wasn't words that originated from him, but it was an inspiration. There was a something that God delivered to his prophet, because a prophet speaks on behalf of the Lord. Comes and tells you what God is thinking about something at that time. And he came and he says, the Lord is not happy with you. He made me read this to you. It's easy for us to do that.
Amen.
And don't despise the day of small things.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Don't despise those kind of situations, because sometimes in fellowship and you're sitting with someone in your house and the anointing comes down, the blessing comes down, and somebody will speak. And they may not even know why they're speaking like that. Sometimes it's the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Sometimes it's God warning somebody before time. If you never had that, somebody phoned you at a certain time, somebody contacted you at a certain time, and you're just thinking about a certain something.
Amen.
And it's like God is speaking to you about that situation.
Amen.
Friends, God is far more real and active in his body than you've given credit for. And God so much expresses himself and wants to express himself, but the prophet said, a pardon is only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon.
Amen.
Now, when grace comes to you, it can be a warning, but if you don't receive it as a pardon, it doesn't do you any good.
Amen.
That's why I thought on this one here, it's a very good thing for us to understand that Christ put such an importance when he ascended on high to get these gifts so that he could give them to his bride, to bring his bride to perfection. There's no other perfection outside of the fivefold ministry. There's no way someone can be fully equipped if they're not in a local assembly, a body under the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
And the fivefold ministry to the entire body of Christ. That's why we have Brother Crosby last week. We have Brother Lubanza. He's got he's an apostle. And if on those kind of things, we need the diversity of ministry. It keeps us in a balance.
Amen.
Because why does the prophet preach eagle stirs the nest so many times? Because we're people of habit.
That's right.
We're people of the comfort zone. You know, we get used to a certain way of doing things. And we don't want you to change. And the Lord's like, hey, you've been too long down that route. It's time now for you to change. And we by ourselves, we won't change. And we'll stay there like little eagles. So the Lord has to come and do something to make us fly. So sometimes the Lord, he sees us getting down a certain line of thought. He sees us getting accustomed to a certain something. So he has to come and bring something else from another angle to us. To come and stir us up. To come and shake us. To say, but hey, consider your ways. Don't go that way anymore. It's true. Because the devil's very cunning as well.
Amen.
The devil's orders at work. And his orders at work. I mean, the devil wants to take you off course. He doesn't take you off course in a day. It starts off a little bit at a time. He just gets you to deviate a little bit and you keep falling down there. And sometimes you won't even realize it. Until God has to send his grace to come. Get back in line.
Amen.
You need that kind of a thing. Our friends, we need it all. We really do need it all. We need the people who shout. We need the people who talk. We need the people who jump and we need the people who don't jump. We need the people who knock over the glass of water and we need the people who don't knock over the
Amen.
Glass of water. No, we need it all because God has diversity in his body and he has a purpose in what he's doing. He knows exactly what we need. And if we as a church will take it seriously, we'll be prayerful about this.
Hallelujah.
We'll be praying and saying, please Lord, send our way. Exactly what you need.
Amen.
And then the Lord will lay upon our hearts and lay upon the hearts of those ministers to come this way. Amen. To come and minister exactly the ministration, the vitamins needed for the body exactly at that time.
Amen.
Is that something like that?
Amen.
You listen to the message. Sometimes you put on a message and doesn't minister to you. Doesn't mean it's not God's word, it's not an anointed message, but it's not the word you get.
Hallelujah.
So maybe get something else and then you just strike a certain something.
Amen.
It becomes black to you.
Amen.
Oh my. God is speaking.
Amen.
God is answering. A word in season, how good it is.
Amen.
And that's how I wanted to bring this sense. Let's really be in prayer about this.
Amen.
Let's never take these things for granted. We need ministry.
Amen.
We need the diversity of ministry.
Amen.
We need everything that God has put inside of his body. We want to appreciate it. We want to benefit from it. And the only way that can start is first, man, we need to understand that. And then we need to start to respect some of these things. A little bit more and say, but Lord, now sometimes we just take it for granted. But it's just brother so-and-so. I say, no, it's not just brother so-and-so. If God has called someone, it's Christ in brother so-and-so.
Amen.
In sister so-and-so.
Amen.
When someone is really commissioned and called to bless the saints in song, you know, they consecrate themselves and come and stand in front. That's Christ ministering to his body.
Amen.
And you'll feel it because the blessing comes down.
Amen.
The atmosphere changes. It can prepare the way for the preaching of the word. It can make a difference in the life of a person. God can minister through song. But then you've got to know our boundaries.
Amen.
The prophet says the song leader is not a preacher. The song leader is not given to preach.
Amen.
The song leader is there to lead people in worship. The song leader is there to get under the anointing before the service Amen. Wait upon the Lord. Let the burden of the Lord come into their soul. Concerning certain songs or certain items that need to be sung. And then come and deliver the burden of the Lord to the people. And the way that you know that you've hit the point in anything is when God comes and blesses
it.
But there's many times you don't hit the point. I remember Brother Ronnie Peterson saying, your pastor can't hit a home run every week. You can't expect the guy in baseball every week he goes, ah, home run this week. And some said even Babe Ruth didn't hit a home run. So you're going to have it. The song leader's going to miss it sometime. The minister once in a while is going to miss it. That wasn't exactly what God wanted said. Since that's the way that it goes. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And there's many things that can try to come in the way to keep you back from fulfilling the purpose of God. What's in your mind? The things that you're going through. It's going to be all these kind of things as well. But if you can just listen to your soul, get quiet before the Lord, allow yourself to get into that atmosphere, that expression is going to be a blessing. It's going to do something for God and for His people. It has to. What about an apostle? The prophet says the apostle is a special man. He's a setter in order. He's a man that's sent from God to set things in order.
Amen.
So, the definition I find in the Bible dictionary, I like it. An apostle is one called and sent by Christ to have spiritual authority. So, apostles have an authority, right? Others won't have the same authority as an apostle. To have a spiritual authority, a character, a gift and an ability to reach and establish people in the faith.
Amen.
Especially through founding and overseeing local churches. An apostle has a burden to build something that doesn't exist before. That's
right.
What's an apostle? It's a missionary. It's one sent of the commission. But for someone to be like this, they're going to be made in a certain way.
Hallelujah.
Not everybody can do that kind of a work. And not everybody is built in a certain way. The promise as an apostle is a special built man. He's somebody who has a burden when he sees the message isn't in this place. His burden is to take the message to that place. Not everybody has that burden. But God has commissioned people. And if God gives a man the commission, He's going to give him the clothing as well. He's going to give him the equipment. He's going to give him the things that he needs, a character as well, to match that calling. So they lay the foundation. Now, let's look at a few characteristics. We'll just get on an apostle and we'll finish. Let's look at the nature that a person is required of to have to be an apostle. Not everybody can be like that. Remember when we did the characters of people and we saw there was a lion. Yeah? The lion, the ox, the man, the lion was the apostle. And if you go into psychology, it's the choleric nature. It's the strong natural beings. There's just certain people that there's a determination in them.
Amen.
They've just got that leadership capacity, but they're not like pastors. They don't sit down and reason things out in that kind of way. But they're people that are leaders that are determined. They're the pioneers of life. They're those kind of people. Like Martin Luther would express it himself. He was the kind of guy who could break things down, open up the way.
Yeah? Amen.
Those kind of people that don't go before. Those kind of people, like the Apostle Paul, that don't endure the hardship. They don't do the hard job of go to Mars Hill and preach when the gospel's never been preached. You're going to stand in front of the unbelievers. Doesn't matter the criticism. Doesn't matter what people say. There's a burden in his heart that the message must be delivered. And he delivers the message. And if God has sent a man, there's always going to be people to respond.
Amen.
And you're going to find a person here and a person there. That's going to be the establishment, the starting of a church. And then Paul was different than an evangelist. An evangelist will go to Mars Hill, preach, and next week he's not in Mars Hill anymore. Yeah, he's somewhere else. Thessalonica, whatever. But an apostle, when it starts, you'll stay there.
Amen.
Paul and Barnabas stayed 2 years.
Amen.
Establishing the saints in the faith. That's a special type of a call. Because an apostle has a burden that when the word starts, he wants to see it come to perfection.
Yeah.
And the way that an apostle knows that he really did his job, he works himself out of a job. Because when the church comes to maturity, you can go somewhere else now. Because the church can look after itself. Then he'll come back now and again like Paul did. But his ministry is to establish things. To establish things deep enough until that church grows. And then he ordains elders, he ordains ministry. And then he can move on and go to other places where the message has never been taken before. That's what the prophet says. He's a setter in order. An evangelist isn't a setter in order. An evangelist is to preach to the lost. Is to preach, especially down the line of faith. You always find that with evangelism. To speak of Christ and his glory, you know, receive from him. But it's different than an apostle. An apostle will suffer like Paul. And he's made to be like this. Like when the St. Paul went to Lystra, they stoned him. Next chapter, he's back preaching in Lystra once again. That takes a certain character. God has to make a man like that. That you go to a certain place, you get beaten, and go back again. It's not natural. A natural person. An apostle is a special person, the prophet says. Like an eagle is a special bird. It's made in a special way. Certain characteristics that are divinely appointed to it to achieve a certain purpose. An eagle can soar right up there in the heights. And it's got eyes that can see far away. You know, so God's going to appoint an eagle to fly so high, he's going to have to give it their equipment so they can achieve its purpose. And that's exactly the same as an apostle. Now, Paul is a prime candidate for that. Paul, he was always a good leader. Even before he met Christ. I mean, the Sanhedrin Council gives letters to Paul. And he's given an escort of soldiers as well on the way to Damascus. This was a man. You know, these kinds of people, even in their natural temperament, they're driven. They're people of great ambition. They want to see things done. These are people that have a determination, and they need to be determined. Different than an evangelist. The evangelist won't have that same determination. Someone else won't have that. But there's a certain something that God has deposited inside of them for a sacred purpose. That they want to do something and they want to see it through. And friends, we need people.
Amen.
You may not be called to be an apostle, but you may have those characteristics inside of you. That when you start doing something for the Lord, that's what it should be. You want to see it through to the Lord. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter opposition that will come. It doesn't matter that this person decided to do that. It doesn't matter. There's a burden inside of my soul and it needs to be expressed. And I want to run the course and allow this to be expressed. That's why Paul went through the things that he went through. He says he went through his whole family. He went through more than all the rest of the apostles put together. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing characteristic inside of a man. Friends, you need to respect that kind of quality.
Yeah.
That's a high quality. That's why in Corinthians it says, God has sent in the body, firstly apostles, and generally teachers and prophets and so forth. That's a high quality, friends. Very, very high quality. Apostles are self-motivated. They don't need other people to motivate.
That's right.
That's the way they're made, because they need to get into virgin territory. They don't need someone cranking them up all the time. Why weren't you in church last week? Hey, let's come for the prayer meeting. No. That's not the kind of person. They're going to be there because they have an ambition, they have a goal, they have a burden, they have a desire, and this desire must be expressed.
Amen.
And that's how they be diligent in the things that they do. And I think that's a real, real good thing to do. Now, Paul, in the hands of Christ, when he was transformed by the revelation, by the visitation of Christ, he was in great need. He was in great accident. But Saul, before he became Paul, he also had certain characteristics. He was still determined. But when it wasn't expressed in the Spirit of Christ, these kind of people can be voted down. That's how Paul speaks of the false apostles in the Bible. And what's caused all the problems, like we say in the message, is apostles, who, instead of it being all about Christ, like Paul, Paul had a heavenly vision. And he never lost sight of his heavenly vision. Everything he shepherded it into line so he could fulfill his heavenly vision. He said, those things that are behind, I forget those things that are behind, and I press towards the mark.
Amen.
But a person has to be careful. Each and every one of us in our callings have to be careful that we're not the Bible. Because you find that there were apostles in the Bible, and Paul speaks about, who overstepped their founder of an apostle. And now they still had ambition, they still had purpose, they still were determined, they still had a drive to fulfill. But it was no longer under the heavenly vision. It was their own ambition. It was their own ambition now that they wanted to fulfill. That's why you've got to be careful that you don't run ahead of God.
Amen.
If you're determined, you want something done, make sure it's the leadership of Christ.
Yes.
Make sure it's in the heavenly vision.
Amen.
Don't let it become your own vision.
Amen.
The prophet speaks about that in Paul a prisoner. He says, he had great ambitions. What ambition means? A strong desire to do or achieve something. He had great ambitions. Paul, Saul. He had been trained by a fellow by the name of Gamaliel, a great teacher of his day. One of the greatest schools he could have went to. So Saul of Tarsus, he had many things that he could trust in himself. Many things that he could have trusted in. He had great natural ability. He had this strong character. He had been under the greatest of Jewish teachers, Gamaliel. Being in the greatest school. The prophet said he was well educated and smart and an intelligent boy with a great ambition as maybe someday becoming a priest or a high priest to the people. Great ambition. But God had to take it without him. The Lord now had to visit that man. And there was such a powerful transformation in that visitation that God took all of those characteristics that were now being used against the kingdom of God, against the kingdom of God. And God now transformed those things until he became Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as long as he stayed a prisoner of Jesus Christ, as long as his ambition was to fulfill the heavenly vision, friends, these are the most powerful people that we meet. These are people that are such a benefit to the church of God. Because they will go and expand the boundaries of things. They will go and open up new territories, new grounds. They'll establish things. We need those kinds of people.
Amen.
And if you look inside of your nature, you might have that kind of a nature. But in order for the Lord to really use you, you've got to become like Paul.
Amen.
You've got to become a prisoner to the Lord. And you've got to be willing to take all of your ambitions, all of your thoughts, all of your purposes, and lay them on the altar and say, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice this all if this doesn't connect with your program.
Amen.
And then you became Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. The prophet has got to take it all out of him. The ambitions of his father and his mother was taken away from him because God had something else. The road to Damascus changed him. He then goes on to speak about the change of a name. And the prophet says, never a victory is won in a city. A name is changed. He said, Saul might have been a good name for a king, but it wasn't a good name for an apostle. And when Paul was overcome by the power of Christ, when he was overcome by the purpose, the vision that Christ had for his life, when Paul now was overcome and overtaken himself, says, that's when he was changed from Saul to Paul.
Amen.
And that's when he fulfilled his destiny. That's when now he became a great blessing. You know, a man that's so determined, then you can't hold those kinds of people up. Put him in prison, it's okay. He'll write the epistles from prison. That's another way you put the man. Then God is still going to go for the message. He's going to continue. He's going to stay and pray. He said, he spoke about praying continually, the burden of the churches upon his heart. And he would write to the different churches and say, I remember you continually before the Lord.
Amen.
Friends, what a kind of person that is. The power of transformation is under somebody. That's what the Bible says. Every time a victory is won, something has changed inside of somebody. Let's finish with what the prophet says about your temperament and your core. The prophet says, when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, he is in you with your temperament. And he's living his own life through his own will through you. And that's what he is. Is that not what he wants?
Amen.
I don't want to change from being myself. He made me the way I am. I can't change myself. You might want to be like somebody else. You might wish you could express yourself the way that other people, but you can't be that. And God is a God of variety, diversity. And your fingerprints are unique, and there was a purpose for you to have the fingerprints that you have. Because they were designed by Him. The one who makes no mistakes. He gave you your temperament. And that temperament you've got in the hands of God will be a great blessing.
Amen.
It'll be something that'll minister to the body of Christ. It'll be something that'll edify the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. But that temperament on the other hand, because our greatest strengths are our greatest weaknesses. You've got to be careful, because I'm talking to a person. When that's anointed, it's going to be used for the kingdom of God. But when they're not under the anointing and they're talking, hey, sometimes it's not going to be such a blessing. So your strengths and your weaknesses, be careful. When you fall in the hands of Christ, you're blessed. But when you're out of the spirit like King Saul, a determined leader, someone of great potential, but he was cruel, and he was hard, and he pursued his own agenda. And although he knew the will of God that David should be king, he pursued him. You would pursue him through the forest. Pursue him in the wilderness of Judah. It can become, instead of a determination, it can become a stubbornness. And friends, that's not what you're looking for. You want to be yielded. You want a mellowness inside of your soul. That although maybe your temperament is more expressive than outward, but you want the spirit inside of you. You want the atmosphere inside of your heart to be light. You want it to be sweet and mellow and godly. And that's why Paul was so much contrary to this kind of nature when he wept for his brethren the Jews. He says, my heart's desire is that they might be saved. He says, I even would be cut off for my brethren. That's Christ in a man. That's Christ using the temperament of a man. That's not just a man himself. So the prophet says, Christ in you with your temperament. He's living his own life through his own will through you. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's not me that liveth anymore, but Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
Christ living in the individual soul. Surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips, and thinks through the mind, sees through the eyes, acts through the temperament.
Amen.
That's the desire of the Lord. That's what Christ died for. That's why he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. So that he can equip us, so that he can shape us, so they can use the ministry to bring us to that place. That it's Christ in you, expressing himself through your temperament.
Amen.
Looking through your eyes, speaking through your lips. So that's the ministry of Christ in his body. And imagine the edification of a body like that.
Amen.
You'll get yourself back to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, the early days of the early church, when great grace was upon them, when 3,000 came in a day. Oh, friends, the prophet says, another Ephesians. There's another Ephesians promise. He says, there's a church, he says, that's going to be the ministry of perfection. That's the quote. He says, Christ will minister those people to completion. To perfection, and then Christ will come. And I'm sure that's your desire. Let's say,
Amen.
May Christ be exalted in you. And may Christ be exalted in you. And may you be Christ to your brother and sister. May you be Christ to your neighbor, to your fallen brother, to your fallen sister. Whatever the burden that is put in you, put yourself in the spirit, yield yourself to him. Let it be expressed through the temperament, through the condition that is, the equipment that is put in you, through what you've been through in life, the nature that you've got. God don't make any mistakes. He wants to be exalted in you.
Thank you. will change.
Before even time began, my life was hidden. He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, come now for me. Heavenly Father, once again, come so Lord, for the people of your house, Lord, Lord, Father, and make my life right, Lord, for the world. Father, I pray, Lord, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. Ask, Lord, Lord, Father, for my sins, Lord, Lord, Father, for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, Lord, Father, for my sins. Help me, Lord, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, 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 Father, come before the Lord, Lord, Father, for my sins.
To That's what I long.
That's what I'm longing for.
Oh,
I pledge allegiance to this. Amen. Who pledges allegiance to this?
Amen.
There is no one greater. You can pledge allegiance to politics, it's going to let you down. And the corruption in politics is going to see what's happening in this world. You can pledge yourself to the economies, look what's happening to them. But when you pledge yourself to Him, you will never regret it. In this world or the world to come, let's pledge ourselves to the Lord. What he's going to do is going to come your way and he's going to reveal to you what he's done to you. and what He's done for you. And all He wants you to do is to accept that. Accept it in your heart and say, Jesus, I accept you. I accept you as my Lord. I accept you as my Savior. And take you at your word. And God so loved the world. And you love me. And you paid the price. And the blood was shed. And on the cross you said it is finished, and it was finished. And the price was paid. And my Lord, I accept it. And I pledge allegiance to the Lamb who has done the supreme for me. May I live my life for Him. Is anybody in that condition here this afternoon and you're wanting to pledge allegiance to the Lamb? You wanted to join this great army, this great five-star general in Jesus Christ, who's never lost a battle and never will. Who knows the end from the beginning. Who's risen up, has spoiled principalities and powers, has led captivity captive, and has given gifts unto men. You pledge allegiance to Him today. Lay your soul upon His altar, and He will start right now. And He will so transform you that He'll change you into a vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use. And instead of the devil using you, you'll be used by the Spirit of the Most High God. And you'll give Him the glory. And at the end of this journey, you'll say, enter in to the joys of the Lord prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. That's your desire, Israel. Oh, Father, bringing ourselves unto you.
Amen.
We just pledge allegiance to the Lamb once
again. Amen.
Father, we may not have much, but we pledge it to that.
Yes.
Father, all that you have, our alabaster box may be small, Lord.
Amen.
But Father, surely the fragrance is sweet to you.
Amen.
So Lord, we just want to come and just pledge our alabaster box to you.
Amen.
Lord, though it may have to be broken, though some of our dreams may have to be broken, some of our ambitions may have to be laid aside, but as long as we can minister to you, that's our desire. And as we see the days getting dark, as we see evil all around, as we see the dark clouds on the horizon, Lord, as we see the world again falling apart, Father, we just come unto you because you are our refuge and you are our hiding place. And Father, we just desire to fulfill the commission to work while it is day, because night is coming. So Father, renew our zeal, renew our strength, renew the burden and the souls of your sons and your daughters, Lord. Speak deep upon this day and pray, Father, Lord, that we may make full proof of our ministry.
Yes.
That, Lord, your desire may be fully expressed in and through us. And to those who do not know you, Father, we commend them into your hands. Because, Lord, you love them. And, Father, you draw near to them. Speak to their souls.
Amen.
And them, Father, that have raised their hands to you.
Amen.
Father, Lord, you see the desire of the heart.
Yes.
And, Father, surely you have respect unto it upon this day. And, Lord, if that's a sincere desire, Lord, we pass from death unto life. So we thank you for your grace, Lord. Father, we thank you for your servants that you send our way. We thank you for Brother Cousin. I think especially to bless him upon this day. Thank you for such a blessing and he ministered to your people. Father, you continue to use him for your
glory.
For Brother Luvan's a blessing. Father, we thank you for the blessing that he's been to us. Continue, Lord, to use him that it may be a blessing. We will send him, Lord. Father, where the gospel has not been preached, this message, Lord. Father, use him, Lord. Father,
amen.
Send him, Lord, we pray. Strengthen him, quicken him.
Amen.
Grant him grace, Lord. The others that you have sent our way, we think of Brother George Martin. We think of Brother Tommy, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Brother Mukuna, Lord, we think of him, the blessing that he ministered to us. Brother Manda, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your servants, Lord. Father, we thank you for Brother Maxwell, Lord. How faithful that he stands in the house of duty. We bless him, Lord. We thank you for the other gifts in our midst, Lord. We thank you for Brother George and Brother Brad and Brother Max Jr., Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts of music, Sister Lydia, Brother James, and Father Savior, Lord. We thank you for Michael. We thank you for everybody, Lord, that's willing to bring their alabaster box, Lord, in response to the burden that you put inside of them, Lord.
Amen.
To express in some way their gratitude to you. Thank you, Lord, for them deacons in their post of duty, Lord. For trustees, thank you for people that use their time and their energy and their talents, Lord, to edify the body of Christ. Bless each of them, Lord, we pray. Our Sunday school teachers, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, our youth, Lord, all the workers, help to bring these things up unto
us.
And Father, we look back to the things that you have done. Father, to us, it's a foretaste of things to come. Father, we just want to commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. Father, send our way that which you know that we have need of, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, minister into our midst the things that we have need of, Lord.
Amen.
That, Father, you may be fully expressed in the midst of your people,
Lord.
Father, take us on to perfection.
Amen.
That you may be fully equipped to achieve the purpose that you put us here.
Yes.
And, Father, you be glorified in your people, Lord. And as we go this day, Father, won't you just watch over us, Lord?
Amen.
Father, give us traveling nurses, we pray. And the during exams, bless them in our profession. Our young people in their studies, Lord. Bless our children at school. Protect them all the shadow and watch over them, Lord. Father, bless your sons. Bless your daughters, Lord. Father, our brother that recently joined us, bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, our sister that really, Lord, needs to know you at this time, you brought in our midst. We pray for her as well.
Amen.
That, Father, this would be the season of visitation.
Yes.
And Father, you'd make yourself known more deep in the soul. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Won't you bless us as we go? And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's sing one more as we dismiss saints and may the Lord be with you. Let's remember, we do have Wednesday service. And God blesses sacrifices.
Amen.
The fire comes down on sacrifice.
Amen.
Well, let's not sit in the nest sometimes. It's nice and comfortable. Sometimes let's spread our wings and fly to the Wednesday night meetings.
Amen.
And Friday's prayer meeting. Let's not forget prayer meeting. What is a church without prayer? What are you without prayer? You can never be what you're supposed to be. Let's stir ourselves, let's shake ourselves, let's support everything that's been done, and God will bless you. That's what the prophet said. God bless you this week.
I am down for the